Hey, the executives from Sci-Fi Channel, they contacted me today and they said, George, I've got some good news for you. We've got the dates now that we're going to air your 5 television shows. So here are the dates. Now, we'll talk more about this as we get close to the air dates, but I did want you to circle your calendars and just write down sci-fi shows. But it's going to be called Into the Unknown, and they will be 5 shows Sunday through Thursday. Sunday through Thursday, beginning November 16, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central Time, midnight Mountain Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. So those of you on the West Coast, what you're going to do is move your TV by your radio and watch the program and listen to the radio show as well. The programs are 30 minutes. They're interactive. They've got phone calls, some coast-to-coast guests along the line. You're going to love it. I'll tell you more about the subject matter as we get close to the dates. But just circle your calendars for November 16th through that Thursday, Sunday through Thursday. Here's the important thing. If they get the kind of ratings that they are anticipating, this will be a regular series on the Sci-Fi Network, and it'll be interactive because we're going to need you to participate in it. When we come back, Michael Tesserian, ancient researcher, occultist, investigator, Jordan Maxwell, 2 heavy hitters in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let me introduce our 2 guests tonight. Michael Tesserian, an expert on the occult histories of Ireland and America, and is the author of Atlantis, Alien Visitation, and Genetic Manipulation, The Irish Origins of Civilization, and the Astrotheology and Cerebral Mythology. He is also the producer and presenter of the Origins and the Oracles DVD series, exploring ancient mysteries and forbidden knowledge. Here he is, Michael Tesserian. Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm very well, George, and I hope the same for you.
Likewise, my friend.
Great to hear your voice.
All is well. Looking forward to this one.
Indeed. I'm inundated with emails about this show and lots of support from. It's just been overwhelming the last couple of days, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is, you know, a record show for listening, because, I mean, I just can't keep on top of the emails that have been coming in on it.
Well, I love it, and we've got our friend Jordan Maxwell with us too, Michael. Let me bring him in.
Yeah.
He continues, as everyone knows, to be a preeminent researcher and independent scholar in the field of occult and religious philosophy, and he is back with us on Coast to Coast. Jordan Maxwell. Hey, Jordan, how are you?
Just great, George. Good to be back on the air with you, and especially with Michael.
Absolutely. Michael, this is a very special moment for you and Jordan, because you truly requested Jordan be with us tonight. Tell us a little bit about your background and relationship with this guy.
Well, you know, it's been central to my work in the context of the conspiratorial movement. It's been central to my sojourn in America, certainly since 1990. Basically, we've come full circle, you know, by putting out the book on astrotheology. You know, of course, Jordan's obviously mentioned in the book. The book is obviously dedicated to him and so on, but it goes so much deeper than that, because there's no way that that book, or, you know, I would even go so far as to say that even my Irish Origins book would not be, you know, as strong as it is. Probably all my work, you know, any of the DVDs, anything that people can focus on that I've produced and created, you know, I always think of Jordan as being, you know, absolutely fundamental, his message, because, you see, when I had come, I'd been researching, well, even from an astrotheological point, mm-hmm. I'd been studying that subject maybe 10 years before I'd ever come across Jordan. But the thing was, you see, is that this is such an immense subject. Of course, we know it's controversial and all of that. I mean, if it wasn't, we wouldn't be on the show right now. But not only that, just from a purely academic point of view, it's complicated. There's so many highways and byways. There's so much disinformation. In fact, one of the reasons I put this book out is because people are telling me that they find the subject somewhat impenetrable. And then when they go on the internet or when they try to look for sources, you know, they have problems. Well, that is very much my situation back in Ireland. You know, all the way through the 70s and 80s, not having the whole, you know, maybe I can describe it like I had a lot of beads, but I didn't have the actual thread, you know. And it wasn't until about 92 that somebody brought in a video that had a talk that Jordan had done in L.A. And then it also had, they also brought a video, which was when he used to run the International Research an educational society, and they had put together a brilliant, what I always consider a masterpiece in this world, and that was called Egypt, Light of the World. It was a title borrowed from the great Gerald Massey. And I just jumped out of my chair, George, because, you know, Gerald Massey had been one of the great mentors. This is the English scholar from the Victorian age. I've been studying him, and never had I ever come across anyone else, you see, who had even heard of the guy, let alone mentioned him, and was now critiquing his work. And I sat and watched, you know, this 2-3 hour presentation that Jordan had done, in which he literally had images, photographs, scans of Gerald Massey's monumental works. He had the table of contents. He showed pictures. He was describing this man's work. And then I suddenly realized, I've got to get hold of this man, you know. But, you know, being from England, there's a certain protocol about the way you approach, you know, great men. And it's pretty trepidatious. It's pretty scary. And then to my horror, I found out that, you know, later on, of course, I would understand why all of this was taking place. Jordan had been, you know, done over by so-called friends, and I think at that time his wife had sued for divorce and had basically banned him from coming home, completely seized his you know, belongings, had court orders, etc. So Jordan had gone through, I couldn't basically get hold of him because, you know, he was utterly undercut. And it took another year or more, I think. I mean, I had these contacts who had his videos, and they showed me more of his work and told me what a researcher he was. But I was hungry to, you know, talk to the guy, and the numbers for the IRES in Glendale, California, were completely defunct, and, you know, couldn't get through. And, you know, this is, I was thinking, my God, this guy's fallen off the edge of the planet. You know, I mean, yeah. Now we all know, of course, you know, with mortification, the way that this man has been treated. You know, I mean, I'm a stranger to this country, but I'm mortified by the way Americans dare treat this man who, you know, is the ground he's not, you know, fit to walk on. You know, we should be, you know, ashamed of being the man's shadow, and yet look at the way that, you know, the guy's been treated and all of this. But way back in the 90s, I didn't know any of this, you see. So finally, David Icke had come to do a talk, I think it was in Redwood City, up where I lived at the time in the Bay Area. And, of course, I know David, so I went by him. And it was David that actually had his staff had Jordan's up-to-date number. So you can imagine that the following day, you know what I mean, at a good hour of the day or whatever, my hand was, and I'm absolutely not joking here, I'm like, my hand was shaking, you know. When I, you know, I'm a guy from Ireland, you know, come to a big country and talking to a big man here, you know, he's going to say, get your punk ass off the phone. You know, so I'm really shaking, like, and I never forget the day. I mean, I know the room I was in, I know the house I was in, I know the street, you know, it's burned into my memory, right? And I'm thinking, okay, like all great men, he's going to be a pompous ass, you know. Sort of my Irish, you know, skepticism sort of came out, you know. But then what happened was I picked up the phone. I said, look, Jordan, my name is Michael Tassayan. You know, I do lectures, I do talks, you know, I do some writing. And I just want you to know that I'm out there because some of my work, you know, is a little bit similar to yours. It does deal with these themes. It does talk about Gerald Massey. And I don't want you finding out from some third or fourth party that some punk in the north up there in San Francisco Bay Area is, you know, cutting into your territory like that. So I'm on the phone, I'm talking to you, and all I want to, you know, you can cut me off, you can hang down the phone, but just know that I exist and that I came to you first, because you'll never hear from me from some backbiter or for some, you know, jack who's stealing your information and trying to set their self up, you know, their reputation on your back. I understand that you're doing this, and I want to let you know that I'm out there, you know. And I love this subject matter. And that's how we started conversing. And then we had Gerald Massey in common, you know, and the man was so gracious and so loving. And he could hear me. He wanted, you know, mm-hmm. He listened to me. So when I put on the table all these missing links, you know, and I said, I'm inspired by your videos, because, I mean, that's doing the trick and everything. And Jordan basically then became a mentor, you know, in the sense that he started to create that thread, that golden thread that holds the beads together, you know, to show how this works with the symbolism, how this works with the designs of cities and the alignments that we're, you know, we're talking about, and how ancient belief systems were co-opted by those we refer to today as the secret societies, and how those people have cannibalized this ancient knowledge, how they use it for their own benefit, and of course that means then the disbenefit of everyone else of us, you know, the disbenefit of humanity. These are sacred teachings, sacred truths being used by, you know, unworthy people, when it should in fact be common knowledge to the masses of mankind for their spiritual and intellectual and moral uplift, you see. So this man started to put the background in, the picture, and basically led me out of the dark, you know. So it was unthinkable to come on with you, George, today. And I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad you organized this. Because now that this book is in print, I mean, okay, I did my DVD back in 2006 on the same subject, and Jordan's heavily mentioned in that. But, you know, when you go to print with a book, of course, as you know, it's a slightly different thing. And, you know, to me, it's unthinkable to not honor the man and not, you know. And as I say, I'm mortified by the way the man's been treated in American context. So, you know, I'll not follow suit. I will publicly on this show in front of your 20 million guests or whatever, you know, absolutely, you know, loud and clear say that I'm the man's prodigy. And you know, this work is absolutely an homage to Jordan Maxwell.
Well, and if Michael, and it's gotten worse lately in terms of, I think, higher ups, whoever they may be, because Jordan's been on the program now. And Jordan, why don't you tell Michael, and again, so many people listening to you tonight, what happened that last full time we were on when your phone went dead?
Yes, we got through about three quarters of the program, and then I started talking about a subject which offended somebody high up, and immediately my phone was shut off by the phone company. AT&T shut my phone off, and I didn't know what to make of it, so I stayed on the phone thinking maybe it was just a glitch and it would come back on, and it did come back on just a few seconds later. But this time there were people walking around in a small office. I could hear the reverberation of people moving around, so it was a very small office, and they were talking about me. And one of the guys saying to somebody else, somebody's going to have to deal with this guy somewhere. And it was kind of scary because I instantly knew that, you know, who is it that has the power to have the telephone company shut your phone off instantly if it isn't government?
While you're on the air with
while
us.
While I'm on the air. And then I was hearing people walking around talking about me. And then I heard this one guy say, somebody's going to have to deal with him soon. And, of course, you know, that sends chills up and down my spine when I hear NSA or CIA saying things like that. Because, you know, you don't expect your government to be talking about you like that, especially after doing 45 years of research and study into the enemies of my country. I mean, I've never done anything against my country. I've spent my whole life trying to expose the enemies of my country. And so that was very scary. And since then, I've had many different occasions where I'll be on the phone, and they'll break in on the phone while I'm talking to someone, and I can hear people walking around talking, and then it'll go off, and maybe a couple 3 weeks later I'll be talking to someone, and boom, it'll go off again, and I'll hear people walking around talking. So I know they're doing that purposely to let me know that they know who I am, where I am, and let me know that whatever it is I'm saying, they're listening. And, of course, I told you before that a few years back I had an FBI agent in San Diego called me at my office in Glendale. And he told me, he said that I was immediately kind of shook when I heard this FBI calling me. And he said, no, this is a social call, not business. And he said, I just wanted you to know that the working class people of the FBI, the guys who are just working out here, he said, we appreciate what you're doing, what you're trying to do. And we don't have any problem with it. And as of the moment, he said, as of the moment, your government does not see you as a threat because we know that people are hearing you. But as long as people are hearing you, you're not a threat. You will become a threat when people begin to listen to you, because then you will become politically, important so that we might have to take a different look at you.
But you know, Jordan, now they are listening to you.
Well, I know, and that's what's scary, because I've told you this many times, that I am worried about my life and myself right now, and I don't know what to do about it, because I know things that they know that I know, and I've never talked about it in public, and I never would. But I know some very explosive things that has never been talked about. And there are certain subjects which I can never discuss in public, ever. So I live with this hanging over my head, and that's why all the joy and the happiness of my life of 48 years of doing what I'm doing, I started out really excited about. And if you go back to my old videos, you will see a lot of energy, and you know, I was really happy and excited my work.
It was a different Jordan Maxwell.
Totally. But after you get feds knocking on your door and getting threats from the federal government, you know, it just changes your whole life. It takes all the joy out of living. It takes all the joy out of my work. I live now in fear. I have fear of my own government. I fear the people who are in my government, because I know that they know.
That you know.
That I know. And now, you know, and I've said this before, I was always researching all of these secret societies that were enemies of my great country, only to discover that these secret societies, which I have been researching all these years, are now in power. Now the people who I was researching as my enemies of my country, they are now in power. And now I am the hunted now. You know, now the hunter has become the hunted. Now I'm in trouble. And because they know that I know who they are and what they're doing. But it has gone much, much further now than just theology and religion, which, of course, was my first love. I have always loved spirituality. I should say even at this point that I don't have a problem in the world with the concept of God. I have always relied on spiritual protection.
True.
And honored the spirit, and I have no problem with it.
And I know you believe in a divine creator.
No doubt about it. I mean, because I don't think I'd be alive today if I didn't have divine protection for the work that I've done. And so I don't have anything against spirituality. What I do and am known for, and I am very concerned about, is the I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this, of the corporate system which we call religion on the earth, and who is actually financing the corporate system of theology and religion in the world. The same people who have given you courts and educational institutions, banking, and totalitarian dictatorships of government are the same people who are financing churches, missionary movements, religious orders in the world.
Why would they do that, Jordan? It seems inconsistent, doesn't it?
It does seem inconsistent, but once you understand how the church is connected behind the scenes to the ancient Templars of Europe and the Crusades, and begin to understand how Hollywood is trying to tell you something in these Indiana Jones movies with The Last Crusade, and always making the connection with the religious and the church as a, you know, and connecting that to the Templars, to the occult secret societies of Europe. You begin to see, after about 40 years of looking at this and studying it, that the entire religious establishment in America and in Europe is a political, economic, and political movement.
Jordan, we're going to be back with you and Michael Tesserian, and we're going to get more into the occult and astrology when we come right back. And our two very special guests tonight, Michael Tesserian and Jordan Maxwell, and we'll be back with both of them in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Michael, you've heard some of the things that Jordan's gone through, yet you're not going to stop. You're going straight forward.
Well, there's nothing else, you know, you can do, and this is about the only thing that I know how to do, you know, in this way. But I will endorse what Jordan is saying, because in the last 4 to 5 days since this show has been publicized,
mm-hmm.
both by your own producers and both by me to my own mailing list,
sure.
I've had nothing but telephone glitches. I've had nothing but email hiccups, the likes of which I've never known before. And more than that, for the first time in its history, my forum, the MSAR forum, went down. I mean, we've never had a glitch like this before, and
that's
the whole thing
so
was
strange.
Off the air.
So strange.
Only when we start promoting this show. I mean, you know, it's three of these things start happening, and I've been documents and the book that I was sending to your producers and the emails I was communicating, they were just so glitchy, nothing was getting through. You know, your producers were telling me they weren't getting it, and I've never had a problem like that ever before. My form has gone down, the phone, you know, I mean, obviously what Jordan's saying, there's really something to that, because people are very threatened by servants of truth and what they've got to say, especially in the times that we're living in now, you see.
So I think we're getting closer to this one world government, and you two have touched on it.
Well, exactly. And more than that, they know that people's interest level, their hunger for the facts, a lot of people are aware now, you see, that they haven't been told the whole truth. They are aware, like Jordan is saying, that we have domestic enemies, and that those enemies are very much wanting to finger their rivals, you see, as anti-patriotic, when in fact the reverse is true. So coupled with the fact that we're able to, you know, I believe that, you know, spiritually we're in an age of awakening in which, you know, whether we like it or not, we're going to have revelations on every level, both political, archaeological, you know, theological, you name it. And that this wave, you know, of revelation and the work that we're doing, you know, is transforming the world, and people's minds are getting transformed. You know, I've been inundated with emails about this book and how people who not even heard of the subject before. In fact, to tell you the truth, the book was, you know, not planned. I mean, you know, the book was simply not planned. You know as well as I do that the Irish Origins was the one that I've been focused on in the last 2-3 years to get out. This book came as a result of a lot of people saying, we love the DVD you've done, but and we want more information on this, because when we go to the internet and when we go to, you know, other sources, well, first of all, there's very few sources. In fact, this book, George, is one of the first books to even have the term astrotheology in the title. It's not the only one, but the, you know, the
right.
Last one, we're talking 500
years ago. These are two volumes now, aren't they?
This is a single volume.
Single volume, okay.
Yeah, the Irish Origins of Civilization was a double volume, yeah.
Okay.
You know, so there's both a threat to establish status quo, but there's also a wave of new information, you know, which is, again, old information coming, you know, through. But I always believe, you know, that if you're a servant of truth, you have nothing to worry about ultimately, because, you know, you're protected. And regardless, when you see your house burning, you've got to do something. You've got to move on that, you know, regardless of what kind of, you know, shadows and fears and other things that are thrown up. You know, one just has to plow on through like a warrior, and, you know, they can take your body, but they can't take your ideas. They can't destroy the great truth. They can't destroy the ideas.
So true.
So, you know, this is the most important thing, I think.
All right, tonight let's talk about astrology, and let's talk about the occult and how this deals with the things you've been saying. Jordan, your take on the occult. You're an occult researcher.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an overview of your perception of the occult.
Well, first of all, the very word itself, occult, spelled O-C-C-U-L-T, occult simply means hidden. Does not imply anything evil or bad or demonic. It simply means hidden. So we know, and you know as well as I do, that so much of real important information, the bedrock stuff, has been hidden. I mean, the CIA knows things you will never know. NSA knows things that we as the people will never hear. So much of real wisdom and knowledge and understanding, bedrock stuff, has been hidden purposely, because the people in power always consider that kind of knowledge on a need-to-know basis. And you don't need to know. All you need to do is do what you've always done, just watch basketball and the ball games and be entertained and watch television. You don't need to do any thinking on a national level, international level, and start questioning the powers that be.
They don't want us to think.
No, they have no idea. No, that is, like George Carlin said, that is not what they are here to promote, is for you to be wise and intelligent. They're here to make sure that you have plenty of beer, basketball, sports, entertainment, and ripping you off in your banks and your money, and keeping you frightened to death from one day to the next if you can stay alive. And happily, they give you Hollywood movies and all kinds of entertainments. But the one thing that the powers that be do not want, and they will not allow, as a nation filled with intellectually superior thinking people who can question. I mean, how would you like to declare yourself I'm a dictator in a country filled with PhDs and educated people? I mean, how would you like to go into any organization and claim that you are the head of some organization that's filled with college graduates, PhDs, doctors? They're going to look at you like you must be crazy.
That's true.
And because they're not that stupid. They're not going to buy anything you're saying. And so consequently, that's what we are facing today. America has been purposely dumbed down and kept ignorant because that just leaves the people at the top a lot of free room to do anything they want because they know, generally speaking, the people in America are so profoundly ignorant and ill-informed and entertained and lost from propaganda and lies and deception for so many years that at this point it's just useless to even try and find truth because it's so well hidden. And the word hidden, again, as I said, is occult. And nowhere do you find occultism more profoundly in your face than in theology and religion and churches and the superstructure of religions throughout the world and their hidden connections to secret societies and fraternal orders that are financing, organizing, and directing religious movements into wars, into crime. It's just an extraordinary story.
What do you think, Jordan, of some of these evangelists, television or otherwise, are making and reaping in millions of dollars?
Multiple millions a week from people who just cannot wait to send money. And, you know, when I watch, sometimes I'll watch TBN or some of these Christian stations, and I will see these thousands and thousands of people at these huge churches, and they're applauding, and they're entertained, and they are dancing around, and they are just having a great time.
Throwing money.
Yeah, and throwing money at the ministers, and of course the ministers have got their Rolex watches and diamond rings and $500 mohair suits.
Are you sure they're real?
Well, whatever. I'm not sure any of it's real. And then I think to myself, you know, the 48 years I have spent reading and studying into the world of the occult, mysticism, theology, ancient religions, the people, the religious people of America and the North America especially, have no idea in the world what is actually going on theologically or religiously. They have no concept of what is really taking place. They have no knowledge of the Knights Templars, of the secret societies of Europe, how the European royalty purposely set up religious orders to further their political plans. A classic example, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. We talk about the dollar bill and the symbolism of the dollar bill of the pyramid with the all-seeing eye.
Yeah.
What Christians do not know, and most people, period, don't know, is that in the Old Testament, In the Old Testament Bible, which is the Hebrew Old Testament, the Messiah is at least twice referred to as the chief cornerstone the builders rejected. Now, that's not Jesus. The Hebrew is talking about Messiah, period. Now, in the New Testament, the Messiah is referred to, or Jesus is referred to, by the same word. The same word as chief cornerstone the builders rejected. Now, what's interesting is that all of Christianity says that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. That is absolutely, totally incorrect. It is a total misreading of the word. Jesus, according to Scripture, is not the cornerstone of the church. That's ignorance to say that. The Scripture says he is the chief cornerstone, which that word in Greek simply means a triangle perched on top of a pyramid. That's what the word actually means in the Old Hebrew and in the Greek and Aramaic in the New Testament, a triangle perched upon a pyramid. Well, if that's the case, then that symbol on the back of the dollar bill has to do with the Jewish Messiah or Jesus as the Christian Messiah. And how many people know that? That whole symbol on the back of the dollar bill is a very powerful religious symbol to Jews and Christians 1,000 years ago that today we have no idea in the world what it means. We're calling it Illuminati. We're giving up. We're talking about all the bad, evil implications of that symbol, when in point of fact, it's the symbol for Jesus and in the Hebrew for the Messiah. Now, what in the world is going on with the Messiah and Jesus being the symbol on top of a pyramid? What does it have to do with Egypt? And why is America connected to Egypt? Why is the Mississippi River called the Great Nile? Why do we have cities along the Mississippi given Egyptian names like Memphis, etc.? So you need to understand that there's a world hidden from people in theology and religion which they have never been privy to know, and which the Templars of Europe and which the masters of wisdom in the ancient world knew, but they've kept it among themselves. They're not telling.
Well, why the symbolism, Jordan? Hiding of the symbolism?
Well, symbolism is very, very important way of communicating in the occult world. I mean, gangs do that. They give hand signals.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
And or spray paint certain symbols, and you drive by and think it's just junk that kids are spraying on a wall. No, it's not just junk. Those are symbols. And if you don't know how to read those symbols, you can get yourself in trouble. And so symbols are very important. They are hidden messages. I mean, like I've said so many times before, Hollywood is telling you, it's in your face. The new Batman movie is just filled with
Dark Knight. Somebody's telling them, though, then, right?
Somebody is feeding America occult knowledge, wisdom, and understanding on a very high level, and we are accepting it as Americans as entertainment. It's not entertainment. The symbol on the dollar bill is extremely important to the church and to Judaism throughout the world. And the symbolism in churches and in synagogues. And why do you even call the Jewish meeting place a synagogue? Where does that word come from? I'm just saying that there is a world of hidden knowledge, which is one day, like the scripture says, that which has been done in the dark will one day be brought to light. I believe it is now time for the dark mysteries of religion, theology, and the occult world. It is now time for the people to awaken, to find out we have been lied to. We have been misled by the same people who have led governments, led the banking institutions. They have led the educational institutions. All of the institutions of learning around the world, the same people are the ones who have given you the dollar bill and the symbols that we live by. And unfortunately, in America, nobody seems to see the importance of the hidden symbols right in your face.
Do you agree with that, Michael, that most of the people just don't seem to understand these symbols?
Well, this is what we call symbol illiteracy. People can walk around the streets. They can walk around the towns and cities. They can observe the stately buildings and the plazas and the church design, the clock towers, and even the murals. I mean, let's look at Washington, D.C. So they can be in the midst of all of this ubiquitous ancient pagan symbolism and not have the faintest idea what it means. And therefore, by not knowing what it means, the subconscious mind is wide open to, as Jordan is saying, be manipulated. See, neither Jordan nor I have any problem with Christianity. Neither Jordan and I have any problem with religion. What we have a problem with is absolutely Luciferian, Masonic, Templar, individuals, dynastic concerns, power elites who are either biologically or ideologically descended from some very, very ancient sorcerers who are hiding behind what most people would know by certain terms like Christianity and so on. So the definition of terms like what Jordan is explaining is extremely important, you see, because otherwise people will think, oh, wait a minute, you're Catholic bashing. Wait a minute, you're Jew bashing. Wait a minute, you're anti-patriotic, you see. So when an occultist like Jordan and myself, are talking about these things, talking about these terms, talking about this subject matter. We are not doing it as you will pick up a newspaper and see it, or turn on PBS and understand it, or even for that matter, you know, with the schools and the colleges, university, the so-called academic expert level. We're not experts in anything. You know, we're not looking at that professionalism. We don't have letters after our name. We don't have any bias. We're looking at something in an esoteric way as opposed to what's called an exoteric way. So, George, to answer your question, is most people do, in fact, see a lot of this stuff, but they see it in an exoteric way. It's just a symbol on a product for them. It's just a certain, you know, color or a certain rhythm or a tricolor flag, you see, or a double-headed eagle that they pass every day, you know, or an obelisk that they stand up, you know, in front of to get some shade, or, you know, Piccadilly, or, you know, whatever, take a photograph of the lions there. It never crosses their mind, you see, to say, why is it lions instead of giraffes? You know, why isn't it four, you know, rabbits sitting here? What's the lion doing on the symbol of the British royalty? What's the fleur-de-lis, you know? And, of course, in an American context, it's important because these oligarchical forces, these Luciferian concerns are really in control now of the American system. They have eviscerated the Constitution of the United States. They are the true foreign power that's ensconced in America. This is why you have the Queen of England coming over and shaking hands, you see, with your dignitaries over here. Scandalous, certain things going on in the political milieu. I think the only thing that maybe I am a little bit different than Jordan is, you see, I don't necessarily really expect the whole of the world to ever really understand what people like what we're talking about right here now. Every listener who's listening to my voice, who's listening to this show, is a select group of critically minded, open-minded people who know that they've been lied to, who suspect, you see, and these people may forget to understand how rare and unique they are, you know, from being into this kind of material. It is occult. You're occult. To listen to this information is occult, because it's not going to be something that you're going to share with the guy next door, you see, and even many members of your family.
No, you can't. They would think you were nuts.
Oh, right. No. So yeah. this is another definition then of what I mean by occult. We've all gone through it. I'm sure you have. You know, even the researchers in this field have suffered this in their own, you know, family dynamics and whatnot. And of course, the people who come to us, you know, to read our materials and look at what we're doing, also have a tremendous problem with this. I see on email every single day, you know, the people calling out for help. What can I do, Michael? Nobody listens to me. They think I'm a complete crazy, you know, and then I keep reminding them of this esoteric, exoteric divide. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you have stepped over into the black square on the board. Because as we know, the Masons and these people, these elites, use the checkerboard. They use this incredible symbol. What does it mean? It means exactly what Jordan has been saying, ignorance and knowledge. The only two categories in this world that a top Mason or any of these elites ever think about, how they categorize us, how they categorize the human race, is simply in two categories. Those who are ignorant and those who are, you know, knowledgeable. And they make sure that when they initiate their people and their lodges, that's what they're doing. That's why they use the symbol of the sun.
Michael, give us a website. We're going to hit the top of the hour, and we'll be right back. But give us one of your websites.
MichaelTessarian.com is the navigation page to all the different sites.
Great.
It's also the navigation page to the astrotheology book.
Very good. And that's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Jordan Maxwell, of course, jordanmaxwell.com. We'll be back with more with these two incredible people on Coast to Coast AM.